flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Donnie and I watching the original Rocky, the first Rocky, here on a Donnie Football Friday. It might be my favorite movie of all time. I mean, it's just genius. And the fight scene here, as we were just discussing, Donnie, is so... I don't know about the actual punches and stuff. That they did an okay job there. But the scene, the lead up to the fight, the intros, the warm-up, the crowd... It's genius movie making, is it not?
It was the best picture the year it came out, wasn't it?
I think so. It had me drinking raw eggs and milkshakes, Ray Fittipaldi. Do you remember when the original Rocky came out? Are you of my generation here?
1976, best picture. Donnie is right, but no, I was 3 years old, Joe, so I don't remember when it came out in the theaters.
Do you agree that it's by far the best Rocky and maybe a top five movie, sports or not sports, of all time?
Well, it's definitely a top five sports movie of all time. I think Rocky One and Rocky Two are really good. You know, the rest kind of fall off for me. But yeah, how can you go wrong with Rocky One?
Do you agree with that, Donnie?
I don't know if I'd say the rest fall. I mean, everybody loves Rocky Four with Drago. I feel like that's always like up there with people. Three, you got Mr. T, you got Hulk Hogan. Now five is just an abomination. That one was rough with Tommy Gunn. The late Tommy
Maddox was in that.
Ray, favorite side character that is not a boxer in the Rocky movies.
Burt Young. Has to be.
Paulie.
Oh, Paulie. Yeah. He's one of the greatest characters in movie history. Ray, let's just get up. Go ahead.
He also went on to have a little cameo for a couple of episodes in The Sopranos.
Yes, he did.
I think season 5 or season 6 of The Sopranos.
Yes, he did.
Let's just get on the record here, Ray, before we get into the Steelers. Your favorite single movie of all time. All four of us need to get on the record once and for all. You go first.
All right. Well, I have insomnia, so I was up in the middle of the night last night, and The Departed was on, and I actually watched The Departed for like an hour and a half or 2 hours in the middle of the night. That's like a top 20 for me, but if you're going to ask me all time, I'm probably going to go Goodfellas.
Donnie?
Oh, that's a great pick. Ray, by the way, The Departed is on after this, so if you're at home not doing
it's
anything.
It's on AMC.
Yeah. I checked. It's not a Rocky marathon. I have so much trouble with this. because I always split them into so many categories.
Yeah.
When it comes to
you're
favorite
taking
movies.
One to a desert island for the rest of your life. What is it?
Oh man, you know what movie I love Friday Night Lights.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
I don't blame you for that one.
I don't
bit.
Know if Limits? It's probably not the best, but probably my favorite.
I've watched Back to the Future 7, 8, 9 times. Maybe it's my favorite movie by far.
You
original.
Are Marty McFly, aren't you?
I love it. That and the Fast and Furious movies, Furious 1, Furious 5, or Furious 7. Throw one
so
in front
great.
Of me, and I will watch it every time.
Sound of Music for me, Ray, the all-time classic.
It's not a bad pick.
From the sounds of it, you think it is. From the sounds of it, you think it is a bad pick, Ray. The music, the story, come on.
I probably have seen it once, Joe, but I would not put that in my top 50.
Donnie, have you seen the movie?
Man, I think when I was a kid.
Yeah. All right. That's fine. I'm sticking it. With my choice. What was the other one for you, Limits, after
Fast and Furious?
Fast and Furious, yeah. So they've maybe great. Gone a little bit too far by, I don't know, going to outer space. They maybe should stop that.
Each pick perfectly fits our personalities. All right, Ray. You are brought to us, Ray Fittipaldo, by LGKG, the born and raised Western Pennsylvania injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases personally. Who's going to be the Steelers quarterback next year? We spent the first hour with Art basically saying, you know, whichever one shows up first, it sounds like. You know, who's ever at my office first next Thursday wins the quarterback job. Is he doing this? Are they doing this as a negotiating ploy so that Justin thinks he has competition? Give us your thoughts on this.
No, I mean, Joe, I honestly don't think that they've discussed it in full yet. I think they are going through that process, and they will continue that process for another couple of weeks. Now, you know, it's interesting with Justin. You know, Justin's got to go where he can earn the most money and where he has a chance to be the bona fide starting quarterback, no questions asked. And is that going to be in Pittsburgh? I mean, it's a completely different situation from Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson's already made his money. Justin really, all he's done is play out his rookie contract. So, you know, to me, Justin is going to have choices in this if there are suitors. You know, Russ, I mean, I could see him coming back for less money because at 36, why would you want to start over in a new offense again for like the fourth time or the third time in the last 4 years? I mean, I get that these situations are different. But, I mean, if you ask me right now, who's it going to be? Educated guess, I'll go with Justin Fields. But like I said, I don't think even they've decided yet.
Ray, I was a little bit surprised how much Art seemed to downplay what Najee Harris did here. So pretty safe to assume that he will be gone.
Yeah.
How should the Steelers, in your opinion, go about replacing him?
Well, I mean, Art kind of foreshadowed that when he talked to the beat reporters on Monday, when he kind of said we have an opening in the running back room. You know, for me, Donnie, I think you fill that spot in the draft. Rounds 2, 3, and 4, it's going to be rich with good running backs. I think you can get a partner for Jaylen Warren pretty much in any of those rounds. And it's going to be a, you know, which flavor do you like? You got your little, you know, your scat back, third down back in Jaylen Warren. Now, you know, who do you think complements him best in Arthur Smith's offense? You know, they probably want somebody who's got better wheels than Najee Harris, maybe a home run element. So if you want to think along those lines, you could, you know, come up with a couple of names. But I don't think you sign a free agent to pair alongside Jaylen Warren. I think you get that guy in the draft.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Ray Fittipaldo of the Post Gazette on the line. Follow his stuff at postgazette.com. Ray, you startled me earlier. You don't think that the Steelers have already had their quarterback powwow? You don't think that Tomlin, no. Omar, and Art have one of these guys in mind yet?
I think they've discussed it, but I don't think they've come to a conclusion yet. The Steelers are very regimented in how they approach the offseason. Like, all those guys were down at the Senior Bowl or are still down there. They're doing draft prep. They're going to come back. You know, they'll sit down. They'll do that again. And then by the time they get to the combine, guys, they'll have a better idea, or they'll have decided by then, but there's still, I think we're still 3 weeks away.
I'm talking between Russ and Justin. You don't think there's a consensus already in the room?
I think everyone has their opinions, but I don't think they've come to a decision yet on who it's going to be.
Do you think it'll simply be the cheaper guy?
No, I don't think that. I don't think money's going to play into this. I mean, they had the best situation in the league last year where they saved a bunch of money on quarterbacks. I think they realize they feel strongly about a guy. They'll pay him. I don't think that's an issue at all.
Would you say that Justin Fields is the favorite to be that guy, or do you really think it's 50-50?
Yeah, I mean, close to 50-50. Like I said, educated guess. Right now, I give a slight edge to Justin, but I don't, you know, I wouldn't go on a limb and say he's definitely going to be the guy or anything like that. I still think this needs to play out. And like I said, I think it's, you got the Super Bowl next week. I think within 2 to 3 weeks, we will know who that guy is. And I think there will be some clarity by the time Omar talks at the combine. I think it's February 25th.
I just question how that's going to work. If let's say that they do go with Russell Wilson, the report is out there that he and Arthur Smith did not see eye to eye. So right. once we knew that Arthur Smith wouldn't be a head coach and he would be back here, that for me initially said, okay, well, it ain't going to be Russell Wilson, because now we're seeing that they didn't work well together.
Let me piggyback on that. Ray, before you answer, and that is Adam Schefter said, confirmed that Pittsburgh has an interest in bringing Wilson back. And I think we can start there because they got first dibs on the guy. So what Donnie said, and then like, what's the case for Russell Wilson? What's the case for bringing him back and having hope about the season?
I think you could talk yourself into Troy Fautano coming back, being more solid up front, having a better running game and better pass protection, and then you put better weapons around him, you could talk yourself into being that Russell was the better overall quarterback. And theoretically, if all of those pieces fall into place, he would be a better choice than Justin Fields. Now, there's a lot going on there. How many of those things are truly going to fall into place? Are you going to hit it right in the draft with the receiver? Will the line gel? There's a lot of ifs in there, but I can certainly see certain people in the Steelers organization feeling that way and leaning towards Russ, for sure.
Ray, what do you think the plan at receiver should be? I'm not going to hold my breath on T. Higgins. I don't think they end up getting him. But who is a free agent that they should have their eyes on and should be willing to give some money to?
Yeah, I mean, there was that report that Jerry Dulac had, I think, before the trade deadline that Kirk was going to be their target if he didn't get hurt. Contractually, I think he might have to get cut first by the Jaguars before he becomes a free agent. But, if the Steelers liked him in October, they're probably going to like him in March once the Jaguars make that call. So I think Kirk would be a guy that you would look at. And then early in the draft, whether it's first round or second or third round, add another piece. Hopefully Roman Wilson is healthy. He comes back. Still got to decide what you're going to do with George Pickens. But, I think receiver is definitely something you want to address on, the first or the second day of the draft for sure.
Tell us again, Ray, who you have pegged as the Steelers' first-round pick.
I had Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M in my first mock draft. There are going to be probably 3 to 4 linemen in that range at number 21. When they pick, Ole Miss has a defensive lineman, Nolan, who's going to be in that conversation. Oregon Harmon, he's going to be in that conversation. So there's going to be some options there, but I had them taking Shamar Stewart in my first mock.
Big 6'6", 290 defensive lineman. I'm all for that, Donnie. Yeah.
Do you get the feeling, Ray, that they're going to double dip at that position, or any position for that matter, maybe wide receiver too?
Yeah. I mean, they double-dipped at receiver when Pickens and Austin came. I could see them doing that again. They're going to have 8 picks. They got 3 in the 7th round. I know a lot of people think those are throwaway picks. But, yeah, I could see them doing that at both defensive line and receiver. Yeah.
What if Ashton Gentry is on the board here? Would you go for it? I know he's projected to go higher, but you never know with running backs. Or you could trade up and get him if you really want a guy. Do you think they would, and would you?
Yeah, I was about to say, he's not going to be there, and no, I would not trade up for him. I think you add your running back when you're ready to win. And I thought, you know, looking back, I was all for the Najee Harris pick when they did it. I had no issue with it then. But, you know, after 4 years, they weren't ready to win. And, you know, using a first-round pick on a guy like Jenty now, running behind that offensive line, if it does stay the same, I don't see the value in that. So I would wait to get my running back on day two or day three.
How much of a need do you think corner is this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, Dante Jackson's not under contract. You know, Cam Sutton's not under contract. And by the end of the year, the way they were divvying up the snaps, those were, you know, Jackson was the starter and Sutton was getting the bulk of the reps in the slot over Beanie Bishop. So, you know, I'd be okay with Beanie, you know, walking in to OTAs as the starter, but you got to get some competition for him in the slot. And then what do you do at the other outside corner? If Corey Trice is your guy, and that's fine if he is, you got to get some competition, you know, to challenge him, because he's only played 6 NFL games because of injuries over his first 2 years in the league. So I'm fine with Bishop and Trice, you know, being having pole position, so to speak, but you can't go in to the season thinking they're going to be your starters just because they haven't done it over the long haul yet.
Ray, when you look at outside the organization for a quarterback and not the draft, so free agency or trade, is there any option out there that perks you up a little and says that's doable and that would be a great idea?
Matthew Stafford, I think, is probably the best of that bunch that we're talking about. Almost beat the Eagles in a playoff game, so he's obviously got some juice left. But, you know, he's, what, 36, 37 years old, and everything seems to keep coming back to the Steelers offensive line, but how would Matthew Stafford look behind the Steelers line compared to the Rams line? And I know the Rams line had some issues in that Eagles game, but a lot of offensive lines have issues against the Eagles. If you're talking about one quarterback who would perk up my interest, he's the guy, but I'm not sure he'd be a fit here with the Steelers, though.
What about a flyer on any of the quarterbacks in the draft?
You know, Milroe, Howard, like day three, or late day two. You know, I wouldn't think about a quarterback this year, guys, before in the first or second round. I just wouldn't do it. I don't think it's a strong class. You know, people keep bringing up Howard. I like the way he finished the season, but no one was talking about Will Howard when he was losing to Michigan either. So it's kind of funny how, you know, people have they don't have long memories. So I think all those guys are, you know, worth their projects, but I wouldn't do it on the first two rounds.
Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
Yes, you may.
You ready, Ray?
I am ready, Joe.
Do you love or hate the Chiefs?
I lean towards hate, but I don't really hate them.
Lean towards hate. I like that. Do you think it's an illusion or reality that they get the benefit of the calls a lot?
No, that's reality.
Which was the worst call in the AFC title game? The ball that hit the turf and was ruled a catch, or Josh Allen getting a first down and having it ruled not a first down?
Well, I mean, Joe, I know you're with me on this. Why do we have replay assist if you can't get it right? It's the dumbest thing in the world. But I'll choose the first down, because if Buffalo goes down and scores a touchdown there, that game's probably over.
All right. Who wins MVP in the Super Bowl?
I'm going to go with Mahomes.
Nah. So yeah, I was going to say who wins. I should have asked you that first. Kansas City wins again.
Yeah, although, you know, that first one was a good game. Hurts turned the ball over, but until somebody beats the Chiefs, I'm sticking with the Chiefs.
You wrote about it today. I wrote about it a little while back when the Steelers played the Chiefs. Will the Chiefs, by winning 3 in a row, surpass the Steelers' 70s dynasty as the greatest one ever, and the Patriots' dynasty?
Yeah, that B right there, I know this is like rapid fire, but how do you look at 3-4 like the Patriots did, 3-4 like the Cowboys did, or 4-6 a little bit more extended? I tend to favor, like, what the Chiefs are trying to do and what the Steelers did. So, yeah, I'll say Chiefs.
We played this game for a lot of the year before Minka finally broke his streak. I would ask you which year he was going to get a turnover. Which year will the Steelers get their next playoff win, Ray? 2025, 2028, or the 2030s?
I'll say 2028, and their next playoff win will come in a year when no one's expecting it.
Interesting. Yes or no, the Steelers will outperform the mean over the next 25 years in the NFL?
That'll be tough. I'll say no.
Who's the quarterback in 2 years, Ray? Not this coming year, but 2 years. Is it an incumbent, a free agent, or draft pick, or a trade?
Draft pick still in college.
And does TJ get a new deal this offseason?
I think he does, yes.
Thank you, Ray. I have no further questions.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Ray.
What a man he is, huh, Donnie?
Always. Always on his A game.
Isn't he? I've never had him when he's on his B game.
Draft pick still in college? That's an interesting answer.
Isn't it?
And how about 2028 when nobody's expecting it?
I like that call. I like that call. Nobody's expecting it anyway, but yes. Donnie, you and I like to play games on this show every Friday, don't we? We invent new games, as a matter of fact. It was one of my favorite pastimes. I used to invent games as a kid. My stepson and I invented games, including laundry basket basketball. And you and I have invented games. The next one's going to be called the Donnie and Joe Comparison Game. Now, this is one that you often get in the hallways, and I did yesterday or the day before with Pony, on who's better. If you look at Pitt and Penn State's all-time backfields, if you could put them together, Saquon and Franco, or Tony Dorsett and Curtis Martin, or Shady, whoever you think.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We thought of an even better name for this segment, the Barroom Brawl. These are topics that come up in the barroom from time to time, Donnie, don't they? And isn't that the crux of sports, is arguments like this? You've had them, right?
I've had plenty.
So have I. I mean, a lifetime worth of them. They're little comparisons. Who's better? What's better? And I'm going to start out, if you don't mind. We'll spend about a minute on each. You ready?
Go ahead.
Which is the best of all the Steelers Super Bowl teams?
I'd go 75, the 1975 team.
Why? Which,
I don't know. I mean, I feel like you could pick almost any in that 70s era, but it at least felt like that team was accompanied by the offense in that Super Bowl. Like, you know, the first Super Bowl win against the Vikings, that was more of a slog, more of a rock fight.
Yeah.
Whereas you saw the offense emerge in that Super Bowl, make some iconic plays, and the defense was still at the height of its powers.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pick. I would go with 78, the team that beat the great Cowboys team. Like, the first Cowboys team didn't have Tony Dorsett. So the reason I would do that is even though they flashed some offense in the Super Bowl you're talking about, they really weren't a passing team yet. But man, once they changed the rules because of Mel Blunt, they don't win in 76. They come back. So I guess it's really the 77, 78 team. Yeah, the 78 team. You know, the one where Jackie Smith was the sickest man in America. Mm-hmm. That game had more talent on the field than maybe any football game ever played in terms of Hall of Famers. And then you had people, you had Chuck Nolan, Tom Landry, and everything else. I think they faced stiffer competition that year. They weren't old yet. They were getting there. I think that's the greatest Steelers Super Bowl team. What do you have in mind, Donnie?
If I said that Terry Bradshaw, Ben Roethlisberger, Cordell Stewart were 1, 2, and 3 in Steelers quarterback history, who would you say is number 4?
First of all, I might disagree about number 3.
You can throw somebody else in there if you want.
Kenny Pickett. I'm not saying Kenny Pickett. Limits? You're going to go for Trubisky, aren't you? You have the Trubisky train on there? If you might.
With Lanny at the end?
Yeah, I think Neil O'Donnell, honestly.
So I was going to say him at number 4. So yeah. You think he is ahead of Cordell?
Yeah, and I don't buy the argument either that I've seen so many. I heard, was it you guys the other day? Somebody saying if Cordell played nowadays, he'd be like a Hall of Famer. He didn't have the passing part of the game down. He wasn't a good passer. You know, is Justin Fields a superstar? Justin Fields is an electric runner, but he doesn't have the passing part down. You know, so I disagree with the notion that Cordell just, you know, sort of was born at the wrong time for starring in the NFL. He was an unbelievably inconsistent passer. And you just have to be that to be a star. You look at other guys who came into the league. Jaden Daniels.
Woo-hoo!
It's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
Would be a primary example. And there's other guys like, you know, Tebow was a pretty good runner. He was a mm-hmm. bulldozer, but he couldn't throw. You have to be able to throw, Donnie.
What's wild about Cordell is that he received MVP votes.
He did one year, yeah. Yes, he did.
And Ben never did.
So didn't Justin Fields get an MVP vote a few years back? I believe he did.
Yeah, I think his second year maybe in Chicago. Yeah.
Yes, he did. That's a good one. Well, who would you say?
I would have had Neil O'Donnell at number 4. I would have had Cordell ahead of him, and I get your points there. I mean, Cordell had better seasons than what people want to remember. He had obvious shortcomings to his game. But obviously 1 and 2, Bradshaw or Ben, whichever order you have it in there, as far and away as possible. There's a gigantic gap. Then you get 3, 4, and 5. I would actually say if we want to kick it out to a fifth guy, I think Tommy Maddox actually has an argument as number 5.
Yeah, he might.
I mean, the man came in here. He was comeback player of the year. He won a playoff game and almost won a second one if it wasn't for Joe Nedney.
What about Mr. Let's Ride? You thought he might have a chance for about 6 games this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, now, whole body of work, he would trump a lot of those guys, given what he did in Seattle. But if we're just counting what happened here.
Yes, I was being sort of sarcastic. No, but for a while, it looked like he was ready to take off this season.
Broncos country, let's ride.
All right, I got one. The best Steelers Super Bowl play, Donnie, after the James Harrison pick and the Santonio catch, the 3rd best Super Bowl play in Steelers history, in your not so humble opinion.
So I'm going to be biased here. I'm going to go with one that I saw happen.
Okay.
So you're going to have your pick of all of those big plays of the 70s. I'm going to go with the Willie Parker, or no, I'm going to go with the end around to Antoine Randall L.
Oh,
the pass to Hines
yes.
Ward in Super Bowl 40.
Yes, I love that pick.
I was going to go with the Willie Parker run, but that gadget play was what pretty much put that game away.
And I'm not so sure that Randall L. ever got enough credit for that. I've had people, I forget whether it was Ron.
He never does.
Somebody I was doing the show with said, well, he was a college quarterback. Yeah, I know. Like 6 years earlier, and he was asked to come into the Super Bowl with 100 million people watching and throw a ball on the run one time. It's like the golf shot. You know, you only get one. This ain't the range. And he threw a spiral, a perfect throw that the guy caught in stride at the goal line. It's one of the five best passes in the history of the Super Bowl, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the best pass by a non-quarterback in the NFL. I mean, and plus, you look at that game, too, considering how Roethlisberger played.
Yeah.
That was probably the best throw from anybody in a Steelers uniform that night.
Not even close. You're right about that. That's a great pick, and there's many picks, right? The Lynn Swan catches, all kinds of things have happened in Super Bowls, but I'm going with this one. It's in the game you referenced earlier. It was Terry Bradshaw to Lynn Swan in the first Dallas Super Bowl. And the ball traveled 60 yards at least in the air, and he unleashed it as he was about to get concussed. I forget who hit him, Charlie Waters, Cliff Harris, maybe one of the safeties. He was concussed on the play and delivered a ball 60 yards in the air that dropped into Lynn Swan's hands in stride at the goal line. One of the reasons I always say that Terry Bradshaw is the greatest clutch deep ball passer of all time. The greatest clutch deep ball passer. Go back and look at that play, Donnie. You and I will together on the brief intermission we're about to have. And it was just ridiculous. It was phenomenal.
He was a big game player.
Yeah, man.
Bradshaw.
And it wasn't big game dink and dunk stuff. It was, I'm here to win the game. You know, you could argue the Stallworth throw and catch against the Rams. What do you got, Donnie?
So your answer to my last one sparked this one for me. If it was Cordell Stewart or Justin Fields, which guy do you prefer?
Holy bird follicles. I didn't expect this question. Cordell.
Pretty easily.
Yeah, we're just talking Steelers tenure, right? Or just which player would you rather have? Like, which player would you rather mold from his rookie year type thing? Wow, okay. That's a little different question. Cordell was, listen, I'm not putting a D on Cordell's career. He was unbelievably spectacular as a runner and not a horrible passer, but just not a very good passer. They're very similar. I would say Cordell's a little bit more spectacular of a runner, but Fields is bigger and stronger. So I might be enticed if we started on day one with either one and I could hire, you know, Bill Walsh in his prime to work with the guy, it would be probably Fields. You?
I think I would go Fields just for the modern times, but man, I mean, Cordell, when he came onto the scene, really seemed like a special player there for a minute. I mean, his rookie season when they went to Super Bowl 30, it wasn't like he stood around. Like,
no.
That was the birth of Slash, where he was doing everything. And, you know, I've been watching Super Bowl 30 this week on my treadmill walks, and I'm seeing Cordell make plays. I'm seeing Cordell get balls out of the backfield. I'm seeing him run short yardage plays.
Phenomenal electric talent.
Fourth and short.
Yeah.
And then he had some banger runs in his day. Like, you think of the one against the Panthers. He had one against Cincinnati, I want to say, or that might have been a catch and run, but whatever it was. Like, he was, I know you don't like the argument that he was ahead of his time. He felt a little bit like that to me. Now, he had shortcomings in the pass game, but he was a special athlete.
I got one more for you. We'll wind up on this one. You got one drive, Donnie, to save all of mankind, and goodness knows it's never needed saving like it does now. One drive to save mankind. You're on your 10-yard line. There's a lot of pressure there, Donnie. I mean, mankind is hanging in the balance. Who's your quarterback? Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, or other? Who you got, Donnie? Who's your guy that can save the world?
Man.
It's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I always love the Montana story from the Super Bowl when he spotted John Candy in the crowd and then he just easily drove them down for the win against Cincinnati. For me, I got to go with Brady or Mahomes. I think still right now I would go with Brady.
Yeah.
It soon may turn to Patrick Mahomes.
Not me. I'm going with Mahomes. And I saw every big game Brady ever played, as did you, I'm sure. You're not that young. Saw every single big game he played, and Montana and Bradshaw. Like, if you told me, you know what, you got to settle for Bradshaw as the guy to lead this drive in his prime, I'd be very okay with that. Do we have that Trey Wingo clip we can wind up on here? I don't know if Donnie heard this one or not. It's the most unbelievable stat I think I've ever heard in football. It's about late clutch drives in the final minute of the biggest games, playoff games. Listen to this, Donnie. Just listen.
From the official CT Sports podcast.
Since 2001, there have been 125 drives in the NFL's postseason where it was at least the fourth quarter and there was under a minute to play and the team on offense trailed by 7 points or fewer at the start. These are your standard clutch moments for a football team, the do-or-die drives that win and lose critical games. Out of those 125 drives, only 40% of the time did the team on offense pull off the magic trick to get the points they needed. In other words, a touchdown or a field goal to either win the game or tie the game and send it to overtime.
Yep.
Some of these quarterbacks are really good at it, such as Tom Brady, who was 5-for-11 in those situations in the postseason, 46%. Or Drew Brees, who was 3-for-6 in his playoff career, 50%. Only one player is perfect.
Oh my,
and that's Patrick Mahomes.
What?
Who was 7-for-7 in
7-for-7, Donnie. I got the world at stake here, all of humanity. I'm thinking he may go 8-for-8. Brady was great at it, like Wingo just said, at 5-for-11. That means he didn't do it 6 times. This guy's 7-for-7. He's the greatest clutch quarterback who ever lived, and he's about to do something, maybe, that nobody's ever done in the Super Bowl era, which is win 3 straight. He annoys the hell out of me. I'll admit that. I was watching again the Super Bowl from two. I watch old Super Bowls too, the one from 2 years ago, where they had that crap holding call.
On Juju. Where
they didn't call holding on anything, offense, defense, or special teams, the whole game until it's time. And then you saw Mahomes point at it like, oh, there it is. There it is. You got me? Every refs, you got me here? Oh, it's just infuriating. But you know what? I think he's the greatest clutch quarterback who ever walked this planet.
The other wild thing about them in the Super Bowl, too, and about him specifically, is that he has had a couple of slow starts. You know, they'll go into the locker room, they'll be down 2 scores.
He said he likes it that way.
And, you know, I felt watching a season where I even had some... A small financial stake in the Chiefs winning the game. They go down by 2 scores at halftime, and it's a rare time for me, just as a regular guy betting on a sporting event, thinking, I'm not even worried. Patrick Mahomes is going to bring them back.
7-for-7. Thank you, Donnie. I loved our first edition of Barroom Brawl. Limits, your take on that?
I thought it was great.
Yeah?
Lots of insightful questions that I would be getting in a lot of arguments with my friends.
That's the idea. Donnie, I think that was a smash hit.
And we could do that next week too, Joe.
Yeah, we could.
And maybe the week after that.
And I think we will. Coming up, Nick Kostos. Never too early to start thinking about Super Bowl bets. This guy is absolutely incrinculent. We'll talk to him next. And then we have Bechtold's breakdown coming up. We have a quiz show all about this Steelers season. Some little inside trivia about the Steelers season that our friend Limits has cooked up here.
I think you're going to like some of the line of questioning here. It's got a comedic tone to it a little bit.
I think I'm going to love it. Join Pony and Muller today, I guess, right?
Yeah.
At Buffalo Wild Wings, Mount View Drive in West Mifflin.
I'm going.
Beautiful.
Yeah, my friends and I, a lot of my friends from right around that area, we're going to go and say hello to Pony and Muller and Cabali.
I love it. You should, too, out there. The PM team will broadcast live from 2 to 6. Stop by, register for your chance to win free wings for a year. Donnie, as soon as I saw this promo a couple weeks ago, you were the first person I thought of. Free wings for a year?
That B-Dubs is close to me now, too.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah and I only live down the street from Limits, so that's our nearby one.
I wave to Donnie when I drive home.
Now, do you guys ever get together for dinner or watch a game together since you live close to each other and you're both from Waynesburg?
We should do that.
In other words, no. But you should, yes.
He's got a pool over there, too.
I know. I've been there. Beautiful place.